Hello and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I am broadcasting to you today from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And joining me, as always, is one Scott Gall from Berlin, Germany. Ooh. Scott, how are you?
Ooh. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. That's not really a response, though, is it?
Fine. How's the blonde?
Did you say
18%? 18. Are we talking
18% proof? Yeah.
18% is what we're talking. Yeah. Are we talking blonde?
Okay. Of course we're talking blonde. I can let me just fill you and the listeners.
Yeah, you can feel confident to use a plural. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. All right. I narrowly averted a crisis, Scott, before we went to air this afternoon / this evening / this morning.
Yeah.
As we were, getting ourselves set for the podcast, I remembered that some half an hour earlier, I'd put 3 stubbies in the freezer to get them cool and ready for the broadcast. I narrowly averted a crisis, Scott, because if I left them in there any longer, there just would have been carnage. There would have been carnage all over the leftover bolognese. There would have been carnage all over the 1 4 and 20 pie in the freezer. There would have been carnage over some nondescript container full substances of stuff that I just have no recollection of what they actually are. So
to get them from Dusty?
What?
That stuff you don't know where it came from or what it is, substances. Was that from Dusty?
We're talking about something completely different now.
Okay. No. Sorry. Oh.
Actually, steer clear of that, all right?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay, Scott, without further ado, enough of my prattling on, I believe it's time for the fucking World Report.
Yes. And that's actually, yes, it was actually decided. Listeners, just so you know, at our weekly briefing on Wednesday, to jazz it up a little bit, it was voted on, and that is the new official name of that segment. Moldova.
What's the World Report about this week, Scott?
Moldova. A very serious situation is unfolding in that Eastern European municipality, even as we speak.
Mm. Scott, you're usually full of complete and utter shit, but I've never heard you so deadly serious before, man. What is it? Hang on a sec. The road, yeah?
Yeah.
The road.
The road.
I say that lamentably.
The road.
Mm. Listeners, this is real and it's raw. I had an inkling during the week that Scott was going to run on with this particular story.
Mm.
I could see how much he was emotionally invested in it and advised him to back off.
Mm.
You must believe me when I tell you this, simpletons, that I had no idea he was going to push on with this. Scott, have you decided to push on with this? Am I right?
Yeah, I have.
Well, I got to say, Scott, I applaud you for your courage. But, and please forgive me for this, I must ask you the following question. Are you ready to proceed with a clear mind?
Yeah, I am.
I will ask you one more time, big fella, because it takes a long, long time to establish a good reputation, but only a moment to destroy one. Again, can you guarantee me and the Simpleton / Simpletons out there and even the Simpleton Podcast editorial team for what the fuck they're worth, that you can now deliver the story in a credible, impartial manner?
Yeah, I can.
Good. Because we've worked too damn long and too damn hard to risk our integrity, Scotty. And if it's good enough for you, old cobber, then it's good enough for me.
Yeah, all of that. Quite done now, are we? Should I? Yeah, proceed.
Yeah. Now go. Do it.
Yeah. Very good. Simpletons. The road from Rudy to Okashi Customs, a national road in Moldova, has fallen into disrepair with the citizenry calling it a national disgrace.
What? All of them?
What do you mean, all of them?
You said the citizenry have labelled a national disgrace. What exactly do you mean by the citizenry? You mean all of them?
Of course not. Not all of them, Daniel, but some.
Well, again, well, okay, well, just let's just break this down a little bit further. What do you mean by some?
Here we go. Very, very smug.
I'm not a shithead. I'm not dropping this. What do you mean by, in inverted commas, some?
Okay, I'll tell you what I mean. In the article, it read, a driver stated, and I quote, "It's not a rude, but a game. You cannot find any way to drive the car. How can it be a national rude? It's a shame." And another one said, "Russians, Ukrainians, Belarusians, people like this also travel on the road. It's a shame to our country."
Are there more?
No. Oh.
No.
No.
So what were the name? What were the names of the two people that these quotes were attributed to?
That they were referred to in the article as drivers.
So they were anonymous. See, Scott, and here's the rub.
That's not a phrase you'd commonly use.
No, I'd never use it. I don't know why I'm using it now, but I would never say he's the
okay,
rub.
Okay, what's the
it
rub?
It doesn't make sense to
what's
me.
What's the it's rub?
Kind of an Americanism, and I'm not really in favour of Americanisms, you know, creeping into our culture. But anyway, here's the rub, Scott. Moldova has a population of 4 million people.
Yeah.
You stated that the citizenry of that country, meaning at least most of them, held a certain view. Yet, when it was all boiled down, the evidence you held up to support this view indicated no more than two people, both of them anonymous, were of this particular were of that particular view. So, dear idea.
The Sukalani
shit.
The Sukalani Arionesti Road, with a length of some 31 kilometres, is in desperate need of repair. Widely referred to as the Nightmare Road. The rude.
Yeah, wait. Scott.
Yes.
Look, chin up, young man. Look, I've got to admit, this is one hell of a gutsy story, but who refers to it as the Nightmare Road? You see what I mean? You've got to avoid the generalities. It's not good journalism, Scott. Oh, what I'm trying to get through to you.
How would you refer to it then?
Well, actually, I would refer to it as Nightmare Road. Because I must admit, Ando and I spent some time in Moldova following Richmond's premiership.
Yep.
I took a ride in an ambulance with a comatose Ando along that very road, and it took ages. The emergency physicians told me Ando was rendered himself into a stage of, comatose, that they were often not transporting patients in time due to the state of the road. And for the record, Ando was given the time he needed to recover, Scott, just in case you and the simpletons were worried about his well-being.
Yeah, that's good. So you're with me on this then?
Yeah, I am, kid. Hey, guess what?
Yep.
Scott, you're all right. But if you manage to cut out the generalities, I can see you being a great investigative journalist for this organisation.
Well,
so
thank you.
Proceed.
Thank you indeed. That aside, at least one motorist has complained that he or she needs to get to Rudy in 20 minutes, but the trip instead takes a full hour.
Yeah, see, again, harping back to Ando and I's trip to Moldova. I don't actually recall how we got there, but it's not surprising that some sections of the road don't allow you to drive any more than 10 kilometres an hour.
Mm.
Scotty, what's being done about the problem? Why is it taking so long to patch up?
Well, do you know it for yourself?
Of course, but it's your turn to shine, mate.
Right. Simpletons, there is an impasse. Roadworks have been delayed for quite some time. The contract to repair the road was won by an Italian company. However, subsequent to winning the contract, the company realised they didn't have the equipment necessary to do the job. Yep, that's it.
Well, that's right, Scott. And the road authority is seemingly powerless to do anything. Unbelievable.
Good teamwork. Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel's right on this one. The so-called road authority in Moldova is champing at the bit to have the work done by the Soroka Road Enterprise, but is powerless on this front due to not winning the contract.
Yeah. Another problem with the whole project, Scott, is that no one actually knows what champing at the bit means. Do you know what champing at the
champing.
Bit means?
I don't know what champing is. Maybe it's...
All right. Well, Look, I suppose that's a discussion for another day. But you're right. Local authorities are currently powerless and construction has already been delayed by over a year. It's also important to note that, according to the Road Authority, the entrepreneur risks a substantial fine for delaying work on the 18 million euro project.
I think we've covered it all. Thanks so much for your support. May I, answer that first.
Yeah, well, absolute pleasure, Scott, man. Great work. Great work. Not flawless, but great.
Yeah, can I ad-lib a bit? Yeah, I'll do it.
You're not very good at it, but go for it. Yeah, sure.
There's an example. We shouldn't be pointing the finger at the Moldavian ooze, Daniel. There's a very well...
You're talking about Creek Drive, aren't you?
Creek Drive.
No, okay. Sorry. Wrong project.
Creek Drive. No. We're talking about Creek Drive. And there was a story on... what's the news organisation that owns news.com.au? Herald Sun? Herald Sun? Australian?
News Corp.
News Corp. There was a story in News Corp this morning. Yes, I do catch up on the headlines about Creek Drive. And it said that, there's a family who lives on Creek Drive and they send their kids to Creek Drive Primary down the road, literally 100 metres, but they drive it. And due to roadworks, they have to take a detour. It takes 45 minutes to drive to the school.
Yep, that does not surprise me.
Yep.
That does not surprise me.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you finished ad-libbing now?
Finished ad-libbing. We're not going to do that other joke about marijuana,
yeah, no,
Daniel.
Because have I been smoking marijuana,
no,
as it says here in the... yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't been smoking marijuana, Scott.
Yep.
Oh. Okay, Scott, time to pay the bills. It's time for an ad.
Hello, my fellow citizens. Very soon, Strathbogie Shire Council will be floating the Kirkland Avenue toilet block on the stock market and will be seeking investors to take this exciting, cutting-edge, state-of-the-art facility to the next level. 80% of the premises is currently under the ownership of Squires Enterprises, a subsidiary of the local council, and it is this section that will soon be for sale. Exciting, isn't it? 12,000 shares will go on sale on the first trading day after the Christmas break, which I believe is Wednesday, December 27th. Prices are yet to be fixed, so you'd be well advised to log on to www.kirklandavenuetoiletblockpublicsale.com, all lowercase one word, and keep up to date. But what are the benefits? If you invest in these toilets of the 21st century, you'll be in supporting an initiative that has become an important, dependable hub in Northeast Victoria, thus ensuring its viability for generations to come. More to the point, you'll be playing an important role in converting the toilets into a public company. The benefits of this are immense. Not only will you be boosting access to community capital, not to mention your own personal business profile, but by getting in early, you'll be giving yourself the best opportunity to grasp some of the numerous share option schemes that will follow. If you want more information or would like to make an appointment with one of our expert local consultants headed up by Christopher Eddy, you can do so directly on the site or call 111-666-999 toll free. That number again, 111-666-999. You won't regret it.
Yes, thank you to the Strathbogie Shire Council and Squire Enterprises for your support.
Are you going to be in on that, Daniel?
I'm going to have a serious look at the prospectus. I really am. But I've heard some rumours swindling about the town. And look, I'll tell you what, I'll touch upon that towards the end of the podcast, Scott. I think you've got some mail on what's happening on the front there too.
Yeah. That's not really an ad. It's more like what are the words I'm thinking of?
It's a community announcement.
Community announcement. Well,
I mean, I think this is an opportunity for the people of Euroa and the northeast and Victoria to buy a stake in what is a first class 21st century state of the art facility. get on it.
Get on it. It's all we can say.
Yeah. Scott, it's time for the sports report.
You're going to ask? or...
Yeah, what's on the agenda?
Yeah, well, I recently travelled across the channel. I've been working on this for months. It wasn't ready last week. It's ready now. Finishing touches on. I was over the channel to file this report. Pre-recorded now, of course. Well, shall we roll it?
Yeah, roll it. Fucking hell.
Badger beating is a centuries-old tradition in the British Isles and even beyond. It is formidable prey for any dog with its sharp claws and strong bite, especially for the dachshund or terrier, which were usually used in this colonial-era sport. The contest would involve captured badgers being put into dens and the dogs being let loose on them, but it was usually no regular den, with boxes and even tunnels being used. The selection of the dog to oppose the badger could be quite arbitrary. The badger was usually placed in the box at the start. Whoever wished for their dog to engage in combat with the badger would place it into the tunnel from where it would slide down into the den of the badger. Combat would then ensue, with the animals tearing each other apart. And the longer a dog could survive, the more it was seen to be up for the fight. Needless to say, heavy gambling was involved, and the duels never ended well for the badger. Rarely for the dog either. But hey, that's sport, ain't it? Although the sport lost popularity in the 1830s, this lost art is still practiced today in the UK. So, keen to experience it in all its glory, I caught a flight to Northern Ireland to take in a fight or two. In Belfast West, in the basement of a high-rise building, locals honour this ancient tradition by holding their very own badger baiting contests. The contests are fierce, and I won't lie, it often ends in death for the badger. The dogs rarely get through unscathed either, and are sometimes taken out of the building immediately after the spectacle, usually in rather bad shape, to obtain the care they need. During the bouts, I place a few bets and I sink a few beers as I go along too, and it all eventually becomes a blur. After a couple of hours, I head back to the airport to fly back from whence I came, satisfied that I'd played my part in keeping alive a beautiful little tradition. So, Daniel, that was...
Badger baiting.
Badger bait, yeah. Yep.
So that was all a joke, yeah? That whole report was just a joke, yeah?
Just more of your instinctual sports report bashing, Daniel. It was not a joke.
You naive little boy.
What are you talking about now?
That was not a sports report. It was more like a crime roundup.
A crime? How dare
you? I can't believe this, Scott. Wait, hang on, wait a sec.
How dare
Were you,
you
put up to this?
How dare you? Yes, I was given the story and I was told to cover it. How dare you with this?
By who?
I'm not.
Oh, hang on. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I know exactly who it was. Let me take one guess and one guess only. Was it the Simpleton Podcast editorial team?
I'm not telling you.
Spare me your misguided loyalty, Scott. We both know they put you up to this. The incompetence.
They told me it'd be a good story. I agreed. What's the big deal?
You know why it's lost popularity since the 1830s, Scott?
A lot of things
you
have.
Know why? Because what? That's when it was officially outlawed as a blood sport, you fuckwit.
Oh, dear. The event I went to in Belfast, it was above board.
The event was an illegal ring, you know. You've already mentioned that the badgers tended to fare very poorly.
Yeah.
With almost no prospects of survival.
Tradition.
But what about the dogs? You said they also fared rather poorly and tended to be taken away and replaced with the next one.
Yes. Yes. They were taken care of.
So what do you mean, you know, taken away? What do you mean?
I'm glad you asked that. I remember asking the guy next to me about what happens to the injured dogs when they're taken away. I can't remember exactly, but I believe his words were something to the effect of they get taken care of.
Were those his exact words?
I'm pretty sure those were his. Oh, dear.
For fuck's sake. Oh, gee. Oh, light bulb moment.
don't know where to go. Maybe we shouldn't air this one, Daniel.
Yeah, make myself an accessory, yeah? No way, Scott. This must be turned over to the relevant authorities, and they and if they let us proceed,
yeah,
it will go to air.
Yeah,
but I just cannot believe this. Look,
I'm with you too.
Your readings may work in your favour. Then again, I'm not in law enforcement, so it's all not my call, of course.
Yeah.
But I just cannot fucking believe this shit. Did you take in a cockfight while you were there?
No, no, I did that while I was in.
No, you can't. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Look it up, Scott. Look it up.
Laos.
Look, simpletons. You can be rest assured that the Simpleton Podcast does not condone criminal behaviour of any form, including blood sports and the notorious cruelty to animals.
All right, then. What about bullfighting?
Bullfighting? That's even bloody worse. A bunch of drunken Spaniards sitting around drinking bloody sangria in the bloody hot midday sun, watching a skinny little fella in a glorified, colourful condom, waving a red flag at a bull, trying to get it to, attack him while it's got seven swords stuck in its side and it's slowly bleeding out to death. It's a disgusting sport. Sometimes they even set fire to the horns. What a bunch of absolute fuckwits. So, yeah, bullfighting's fucked.
Daniel, I want to do a bit of philosophical ad-libbing. Would you just rather, if you were a cow, and this is touching on our letter from Parlance last week. If you were a cow, would you just rather go with the mob into the meat grinder? Or would you rather be tortured with seven swords, bled out and eventually slain with a sword to the head or the neck?
Interesting. No, I think I just prefer to go to the meat grinder, be put to death humanely.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
Okay.
I think I'd go the other way. I've always been a bit of an individual.
Yeah, that explains a lot. certainly explains your social isolation. Scott, it's time for a traffic roundup with the Traffic Watch helicopter with Robert Hannell. Rob.
Thanks, Daniel. The tree has fallen across White Street, Yarrawa East, meaning major delays for Rusty, Sparrow and Briggsy as they try to get back to your old primary school before the second bell. People are warned to avoid the area as it could take hours, days, weeks or months to clear the debris. A boulder has fallen off Belmadam Hill, killing 43 people in Anderson Street. Police and paramedics are on the scene. Freezer Earth Movie, under the command of Neville Mawson, is trying to push the boulder back to its original position. Hop into Lamaro's for 30% off all brush cutters by simply mentioning the code word Flucky and tell them that Ando and Hawley sent you. Back to you in the studio, Daniel.
Thank you, Robert. Good to have you back. Scott, look, I'm about to mention listeners' letters, but also want to send out a reminder that along with listeners' letters, we can't do this podcast without the support of people on patreon.com/simpletonpodcasts. Without the support of people kindly and generously donating some of their loose coinage, this makes this whole show run a lot smoothly, as I am able to get my three potato cakes and can of Coke for lunch, meaning by the time we get to record the podcast, I'm not hangry. Scott, if people want to send letters in to us, simply send them to contact@simpletonpodcast.com. That is contact@simpletonpodcast.com. Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
Before I get into the first letter, did you say run a lot smoothly back then, a few sentences back?
Did I say that?
Maybe, and I thought you also said
run a lot more smoothly.
That's better. Did you also say hangry or was it hungry?
I said hangry. It's a term, Scott.
Gotcha.
Fucking hell, you're so far removed from the street, aren't you? You've lost touch with the people.
Yep. Letter one comes from Screed Agnostic, Darebin, Melbourne. And Screed writes, guys...
That's Darebin, Scott. Not Darebin. Darebin.
Yeah, all right, I'll take your word on that. He writes, guys, take it from me. Daniel, I believe you have letter
two. Do you think people are taking the piss when they write shit like that into us?
Oh, well, possible. Maybe possible. I'm not convinced yet, but I wonder.
I reckon people are taking it. No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Second letter comes from Huckers Repper from Townsville, Queensland.
Yeah.
Huckers writes, Thank you, Huckers. Scott, you have the third and final letter.
Thank you, Huckers. This one comes from Lang McLuby, Namibia, Africa. You haven't mentioned Namibia before, Daniel, as those being among our listenership.
It's mainly because I can't pronounce it, but good to have you on board, Lang.
Lang writes, oh, I don't know.
Now, you see, I think people are taking the piss.
I'm stuck.
When they write that, what doesn't make any sense? Does it add any value? What point of view are they actually trying to get across to us?
Daniel, censorship.
What?
And our dislike of censorship.
Look, we're all for free speech. although free speech is not free for some, isn't it? You know, I'd like to have 130 grand to pay off a hooker, wouldn't you? Sorry, I shouldn't say hooker, I should say adult film star.
Yeah.
Adult
film star. Actress, even.
Yep, actress. Artist.
Thespian?
I'm artist. Sure there's thespian elements. I haven't actually viewed much of Stormy's work.
Yeah.
The critics are raving about her.
Okay.
Anyway, Scott, look, that pretty much brings us to the end of this podcast. Is there anything in the week ahead that the Simpleton or /Simpleton should be aware of?
Yeah, our public announcement before, if you're not in Australia, you might not have caught wind of it. That's massive news. It's sending ripples across Australia at the moment. The floating of that facility. And I've heard that Calypso Sports is in the front running at the moment to buy most of those stocks, Daniel.
Your mail is the same as mine, Scott. Yeah, I heard on the street that Calypso Sports is going to put in a 51% bid to take majority ownership of the Kirkland Avenue toilets. Entrepreneur Darren Hall is basically a town owned. Between Darren Hall and Neville Mawson these days, and look, I don't mind a bit of healthy competition, but as long as they don't forget the little people,
yeah,
the likes of you and me, Scott,
we are, aren't we?
We are very little people.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. Thank you for your time.
Thank you too.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.